Hi, this is Fred Meyer from Writers.com, and I'm here with our instructor, Anya Ochtenberg. Anya, how are you?
I have someone else's voice for now because I'm getting over one of those strange things that's been floating around and making me cough. So, but other than that, I'm fine and excited to be talking about this good stuff.
We had talked about this scenario where we step into an elevator together. We're headed up to the 30th floor, so we have maybe a minute. And I mentioned that I want to write my memoirs, but I also mentioned that I have no idea what that means or how to do it. And so we're going to have perhaps a slightly elongated elevator conversation about what I should know. The first things that someone who's totally ignorant, which I actually am in real life, about writing memoir should know. And not only just memoir itself, but these very closely associated writing forms of creative nonfiction and autobiographical fiction. So, with that, I'd just really love to hear what you would tell me in this long or short elevator ride. And yeah, I'm just excited to hear what comes back.
Okay, I'll try not to look up at the lights from the floors. Well, I love this because when I if I have to think short, of course certain things jump out that are important. So the first thing, if someone knows then that there's this thing called memoir or creative nonfiction, and then there's fiction that is has a deep autobiographical base. So the first thing I would say is not to worry. You're not signing your life story away. Not to worry about what which of those you are going to be working in. You may think it's memoir and you may end up changing to autobiographical fiction. You may be sure you're going to write a novel, something in fiction, and you realize that your own material is coming forward more than you expected, and it's very compelling, and there's a meaning in the midst of it that you are working to get at. And so you may go over to memoir, creative nonfiction. So that's the first thing, is to, in a sense, to go in. You may feel that you know what the genre is that you're working in, and that's fine. But just to keep one part of yourself open to the possibility that something may change. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is that all of these work, using, of course, anything to do with any material that's autobiographical would, of course, be using memory. And there are a lot of tools and suggestions and writing explorations and discussions that we use to help bring material forward. Sometimes that material is not fun. And there are ways to also allow it to come forward in ways that work well for each person. So there's something called microscopic truthfulness, and I won't give that away. But it's something that allows memory to come forward. And with this work at the same time, even if you are definitely writing memoir or what they call creative nonfiction, you're also going to be using tools that fiction writers use. And those are tools that are going to help you write your story in a way that is compelling story. It also will help you, for instance, if you're writing memoir, and for instance, there's a wonderful writer who was a surgeon, Richard Seltzer, who wrote something called The Knife. And he writes about surgery. Now, if he were to write about every single time he picked up the scalpel and began to operate on someone, it would be boring. It would be boring for him to write, and it would not get to the sort of deepest essence of what he's going for. And so there's something, for instance, called a representative scene, which is something we use in fiction and something we also use in memoir, that kind of collects every morning when we went to school. We don't describe every morning. We let those mornings kind of come together so that we see the patterns in them, the depth of meaning in them. So you use those tools regardless of what kind of story you're writing, which is one reason that these different forms, I love to teach them together. So another point that I think is really important about working with autobiographical material is that we never remember things exactly an entire life, exactly how it happened. So we're always kind of finding a way to tell the story. Now, if you're writing memoir or you're writing creative nonfiction, you have a pact not to lie, you know, not to tell great big lies purposefully. Our memories always can be tricky. So it's hard to say, I'm writing my memoir and everything in it is absolutely true as I remember. Right? So there, we talk about issues of memory, which connects to, for instance, issues of trauma. There's a wonderful writer who is a Vietnam vet, Tim O'Brien, who talks about writing the precise, exact truth as we, I forgot the exact wording, as we remember it, as we feel it, as it seems, that's what he said, the exact truth as it seems, which is the truth that that person who lived through that experience has, the truth as it seems, of a war vet, say, and you know, who went through a trauma. He can only write the truth as it seemed to him in that traumatic situation. So part of what we do also with imagination is that if we're writing memoir, and of course, if we're writing fiction, we use imagination as much as we feel like. If you're writing memoir, you can also use imagination, and it can be necessary to get the fullest story. For instance, you speculate and you make it clear that that's what you're doing. So for instance, I don't know where my mother went those nights. Sometimes I think she might have done this. Sometimes I think she might have done that. And so there's a whole realm where speculation is important, not just because you want freedom, but also because if you go back to, say, that child of that mother who didn't know where their mother was, speculation is part of the story in itself, right? Because that kid's going, where's my mom, right? So speculation becomes part of the story, even of memoir. And that's something that people don't realize, that they have that whole realm for them. So then, let's see, there it is. Okay, we've done that. One of the things that I think is really, really important is the question, and certainly in fiction, in nonfiction, in memoir, in autobiographical fiction, is the development of the narrative voice, the development of your narrator. And this is something that in all the things that I teach of story, we do a lot of work on, because narration and the kind of narrative voice that you have can make the whole difference between sort of what seems like a collected random bunch of things that are not brought together in any particular way, or it can mean a sort of, here's a story, it's kind of told, and I get it, but it's kind of not really interesting. Part of what makes any life story, true or imagined, what makes it compelling, interesting, what moves you into the depth of it, into the meaning of it, is the narrator, is that narrative voice. So we do a lot of work on developing that, on developing the richness of it, the specificity of it. A narrator is not just a voice floating around and we don't really know who it is and they just kind of inhabit the story and tell us what happened. A narrator, a narrative voice, has a very particular vision, a very particular personality, perhaps a very particular way of using language, experience, a particular kind of sense of humor, or not. But in other words, part of what anyone writing memoir or creative nonfiction or an autobiographically based novel fiction needs a lot of work with their narrative voice to make that story tell its truth, to organize what you include, what you exclude. It's not just an arbitrary thing. It's not just putting in as much as possible. It has to do with the vision of that narrator. What is important? What is compelling? What are they trying to hide? What are they trying to bring forward? What is their personality? What is their, are they smart ass? Are they delicate? Are they whatever they are? So it makes a completely different story and a completely different text. And it also gives you, as someone working with autobiographical material, a way to really shape it and really be present and really bring it forward more than you ever imagined. So that work with narrative voice, its richness, its point of view, which in a long memoir may change. There's a lot of interesting work to be done around narration. Part of it too, part of what has to do with narration and that narrator, it hits on what do we include? What do we exclude? What details are important? Not just because details are important, because that's something that, you know, teachers would shriek at people constantly, more details, when actually that's not really the issue. The issue is, how do you include the details that that narrator, that narrative point of view would notice, would include, would stress, would feel are important, would hit them emotionally. So it's a wonderful thing to connect them with your narrative, with your narrator, which then helps you bring up the level of the voice and helps you bring forward what in the story really needs to come forward, and also begins to help you find the structure of it. So I want to end by saying there's a lot of discussion about how a story is supposed to be structured, and there's also a whole lot of dispute about the idea of a preordained structure. So that part of what my courses in this area would help people to do is to bring forward a huge amount, to generate a lot of writing, and generate writing in a way that has its sort of clusters of meaning, clusters of connection, but at the same time will help you find the structure that is within your story, so you don't have to beat up your life, beat up your life's material to make it fit a certain kind of story structure, because some very old guy said it's supposed to do that. There's a lot of idea. I won't go off on Aristotle and Freytag right now. When I go off, I do. But there's a lot of reasons why the meaning of your life, the meaning of your story, should not be violated by a preset structure. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have structure, but it means that you and your material work together to find that structure. It's not a sort of woo, I can do anything I want. Well, sure, but it's a different process. It's a deep process of finding the sort of organizational shape of the story of your life, or this, or the fictional story that has part of your life in it. So it's good stuff, and it, and we generate the most important thing. If I really only had 1 minute or 30 seconds with someone in the elevator, I would say everything that brings forward your writing is good, and not to worry immediately about all that it means, because as one of my my writing goddesses, Toni Morrison, said, first she brings forward the image, then she figures out what it means. And I think in part because of that, because she doesn't predetermine, this logically is my story, but instead allows the material to come forward. When she's finished with that material, she knows full well what those images are about and what connects to them. But she doesn't push them around to make them do what she wants them to do. This is live, vital, creative, associative, powerful material. And we want it to both call forward a lot of work from you and also deeply respect this content that's part of you, that's part of your life. So that's kind of what we do.